Let me get a mic here. A sister from North Carolina, why don't you come up here? Yeah. Why don't you tell them what you were telling me? Is this on, guys? Okay. All right, what's your name?
Regina Elliott.
Regina, yes. Just tell us what you were sharing with me.
Yesterday I was on the phone with a friend from Branson, Missouri, Dr. Mike Brown's wife, Karen Brown. Some of you may know them. They came to Calvary Cathedral many years ago. And I said, Karen, I just can't find a church home. I moved here. My realtor has become one of my dearest friends. The Lord moved me by way of North Carolina to Indiana. I was there 3 years and spoke to me clearly that I was to come to Texas. And you know, as much as we want to do God's will, we want to be where God wants us to be. We got to be where He wants us to be, because if we're not in the right place, He can't use us. So I gave Him I laid before Him a fleece, and I said, okay, God, if You want me to move, I'll move if You'll sell my house in 3 months. I'm going to put my house in the market. Indiana's not the market of Texas. So in 3 months, Lord, if you'll sell my house, I'll know I'm hearing for You. So I called my realtor. She put it on the market at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday. At 6 o'clock, 3 hours later, my house was under contract at way more than full price. So I moved, and I've been alone here. I know some people from Thrive and from other conferences in Janice, but I've been completely and totally alone, Pastor. And yesterday I said, Janice, I can't find a church home, and I love people, and I just get tired of going to social clubs. I get tired of going to churches where they never have an altar call. I walked in and Pastor was having an altar call in the middle of the service. There had been no preaching. So everything, I said, then they came up and I said, well, what are they going to do with him now, Lord? Are they just going to send him out? And He said, follow the man with the Bible. So they're going to disciple him here, and they're feeding the hungry. And I have a heart for people in poverty and hungry. And it was just such a joy. So when he opened and he said, my message today is on relationships, I said, were you a fly on the wall in my home? So I just praise God that He hears the desires of our hearts. He opens doors. I'm a California girl by way of North Carolina looking for a home in Fort Worth, Texas. I live here, and I think I found it.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? Okay, so some Texas folk need to reach out to this North Carolina girl, this California girl via North Carolina and Indiana, I mean. Praise God. That's awesome, isn't it? Man, you know, people are hungry, and they want the truth, and you know, so many churches today, man, they're just watered down. They don't have altar calls. Pithy services. And man, people need the gospel. They need the truth. They need to be fed. We need worship. Wasn't that worship awesome tonight? Man, praise God. The whole team. It was just, y'all knocked that out of the park. That was awesome. Hallelujah. That's better than the Cowboys. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So this morning I was hearing this in this evening again during worship that we're people of grace, right? And you know, we live by grace and we stand by grace and we're people of grace and faith, thank God. But the Bible says that every book in the Bible in the New Testament says grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace. I think there's only one New Testament book that doesn't say grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace. So what does that mean? Grace and peace go together like peas and carrots, right? Grace and peace, it goes together. So what does that mean? That means when you leave peace, you've left grace. Now, that's not a condemnation. It's just a discovery or a barometer to help you understand. And when you've fallen from grace, you've left grace, that means you're not depending on God, you're not trusting Him. And so, you know, you've got to live your life in peace, guys. I'm not leaving peace to accomplish anything. Because where I'm trusting in Him, where I'm believing in Him, where I'm leaning on Him, then I'm going to have peace. Where I don't, then I'm not. Now that applies to relationships as well. Have you ever gone into a relationship and you tried to make it something that it wasn't, and you didn't have peace about that relationship? Have you ever done that? Okay, guys, we need to follow the peace of God. We need to follow the peace. The peace of God will direct us into relationships He's connecting us with, and relationships that He's, that, you know, it's not that we write anybody off. It's not like we, you know, malign anybody, but there's not, you're not supposed to connect intimately with everybody. Right? But if the Lord, see, like the Lord sent our sister here to Texas, well, He didn't send you here to Texas without connecting you with someone. No, when he sent Paul, remember Paul tried to go to Bithynia, he tried to go to Asia, the Holy Spirit wouldn't allow him, remember? Okay, and then he had a vision in the night, a man, everybody say a man. A man said, come over and help us in Macedonia, remember? All right, how many prophetic people do we have here? All my prophet people. Okay, we love you, we love you, I love you, I'm not mad at you, but you would have missed that divine connection. You know why? You're so stinking literal. Who was it that Paul connected with, Paul and his team connected with when they went into Macedonia? A woman. Put that in your prophetic pipe and smoke it. How did he know to? See, you would never have connected with Lydia because you saw a man. Listen. How did he know to connect with Lydia? Peace led him. Wherever God's leading you in relationship, you're going to have peace. Grace-filled relationships are connected with peace. And I got that during worship this morning, and I was reminded I was going to share it, and so it must have been for tonight. And so I just want to tell you that where God sends you, He also connects you. He's got divine appointments and divine connections. And the way you enter into that is with peace. Remember He said, if you go and they don't receive you, you know, if your peace comes back to you, go on somewhere else. And what is He saying? Where I lead you in divine relationship, I'm going to lead you by peace. That's awesome. It wasn't even part of my message, but it's awesome. And so it does connect with my message, because we too many times we try to force relationships, or like I said, all of my prophetic folks, they never would have connected with Lydia. So what I'm gonna go on, I'm gonna move on, all right? But you gotta get this. What am I saying? There are yet divine connections in relationship that God has for you if you follow His peace. If you follow His peace. I said, if you follow His peace, He'll lead you into divine connections, divine appointments that will provide a great supply of His grace to you. All right, let me tell you funny. Billy Graham was returning to Charlotte after a speaking engagement, when his plane arrived, there was a limousine there to transport him to his home. As he prepared to get in the limo, he stopped and spoke to the driver. You know, he said, I'm 87 years old, and I've never driven a limousine. Would you mind if I drive for a while? The driver said, no problem, Mr. Graham, have at it. So Billy gets into the driver's seat. They head down the highway. A short distance away sat a rookie state trooper operating his first speed trap. The long black limo went by him doing 70 in a 55 mile an hour zone. The trooper pulled out, easily caught the limo, and as he got out of the patrol car to begin the procedure, the young trooper walked up to the driver's door, and when the glass was rolled down, he was surprised to see who was driving. He immediately excused himself, went back to his car, called his supervisor. He said, "Sir, I know we're supposed to enforce the law, but I also know that that important people are given certain courtesies. And I need to know what I should do because I've stopped a very important person." The supervisor said, "Well, is it the mayor?" He said, "No, sir. It's someone much more important than that." He said, "Well, is it the governor?" He said, "Oh, no, sir. It's somebody much more important than that." And he said, "Well, is it the president?" He said, "No, sir. It's someone that's much more important than that." He said, "Who is it then?" He said, "I think it's Jesus because he's got Billy Graham for his chauffeur." Okay, here's what's in my heart, the kind of the genesis of this of these two messages today is, you know, Janice and I pastored for 27 years, 24 in one place, just 35 miles up the road here in the metropolis of Decatur, Texas, but we dealt with people. You know, when you're pastoring, you deal with people, right? And we love people. But what we saw is that and recognize is that people are praying for a lot of things like financial blessing and health, and you know, we were praying tonight for healing, and which, by the way, the healing power of Jesus is here tonight. The healing virtue and power of Jesus is in the house. We sang about the healer's here. And when he's here, man, I mean, he's doing what he does. He heals. But so many times what happens is that we're praying for things that are in the external area. And if we would pray for right relationship with God and right relationship with others, we would see the other things line up. We'll prosper, 3 John 2, and be in health even as our soul prospers. And many times people's souls are not prospering. They're sick in their relationships and in their soul. And then their lives are a byproduct of that in their soul. And a lot of it has to do with their strife, all kinds of strife and turmoil in their relationships. And they're, you know, all wrought up and, you know, overly concerned parents about their children and in their, you know, hounding their children and, you know, rawr, and, you know, and they're not at peace about, listen, if your adult children, okay, are out of the house and making their own decisions, and you need to commit them to God. And you need to believe God. 1 Corinthians 3:5 said that He will send ministers to every man, including your children, whereby they might believe. So, what happens is you're not going to, when you get off into fear and anxiety and worry and fretting and all this stuff in the name of prayer, of course, but you're not believing and trusting God, you don't have peace, and you're actually in unbelief. And we need to commend our children to God's grace and believe the word and enter into peace. Yeah, you could take authority over the devil and bind the enemy off of their lives, but so many times, guys, we're the problem. And we're walking around in this relationship zone, and we're not at peace. We're letting people get into our heads, and we're, you know, and strife and all kinds of things that's not the Lord. And we come in and lift our hands and worship God, but when you leave, you're full of anxiety and worry and speaking things over your children and entering into manipulation and all this stuff. Guys, that is not the way to win your children and your family. It's not the way to do it. I mean, you get in prayer and bind the enemy, but then you believe God. God, look, I'm telling you guys, we had the strongest willed child that's ever lived. We have four children. I'm telling you, my oldest gave us a run for our money. And I mean, you drew a line and he's going to cross it. But we just decided, Janice, I came home one day and she said, either he goes or I go. Now, you know, he was 14. I said, man, we got four more years of this. We're going to have to do something here. Houston, we have a problem. And I said, honey, look, you just give me some time with Brian. Look, let me tell you something. Here's the end of the story. We win. The devil doesn't win. And I mean, I could tell you stories that would make your hair crawl, you know. And he was going 100 miles in the other direction. And we're pastors, okay? But the main thing, Janice and I had to have this fight of faith, where we took what we believed and exalted it above what we saw with our natural eyes, and we entered into peace. Now, some of you are there today with your children or your family, and I'm not saying it's not reality. I'm not saying it's not a fact, but we held on to the word, and that when the devil came to me, he said, well, I mean, yeah, my wife is telling me she's going to leave. Either he goes or I go. We got a problem. Lord, you got a problem. You're going to have to help me here. And, you know, and I just prayed and sought the Lord, and I just got back with Janice. I said, look, this is real spiritual warfare. When the enemy's doing stuff in relationships that we can't control. Any of you been there? Okay, then what we're going to do, here's real spiritual warfare. Well, Mr. Devil, thank you for letting me know you're here and bringing this doubt. And how many of you ever had those doubts? Okay, I just took doubt. I doubt you, doubt. What are doubts made to do? Doubt. I doubt you, doubt. Let me tell you something. Okay, yeah, my son's doing this. Yeah, my son's doing that. Yeah, my son's doing that. But let me tell you the way it really is. My children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace, and he's not going to live that way. He's going to serve God, and you're going to rue the day that you ever came against Brian Moore. And today, he's a godly man. He's a godly husband. A godly father serves the Lord. You would never know it. You would never know it. But yeah, we had a war. We had a battle. But it was mostly Janice and I coming into agreement, and that God's word is greater than what we saw with our natural eyes. And so, guys, so many times in relationships, this is what we're not walking in peace. We're not walking in faith. We're not believing God. You know, you know how to believe God for finances. You know how to believe God, you know, for health. But when it comes to relationships, we're terrible. I could say some other words that I shouldn't say, but we're terrible at this. We're just rotten at it. I mean, in the natural, the church I've seen is terrible at this. We're not believing God. We don't trust God. We're not speaking the word. We're looking at what we see. The school sends back a report to your children. They got, what is it? ADD? ADHD? XYZ? No, I just tell them, no, you don't know. They're a PhD. Praise God. I don't know. I'm not accepting that. No, that's not the final report. No, no, no. I'm not lying that they may be dealing with that and maybe easily distracted and they say they're dyslexic or whatever, you know. But the bottom line is this. Okay, God didn't create them that way. And our authority, our authority in the spirit realm is what goes. And we need to stop all this unbelief when it comes to relationships. We need to believe God and speak over our families and take authority over the enemy and tell him what to do and where to go. And exalt the truth above the facts. If you keep exalting the truth above the facts, the truth will win out. So that what my passion for this is people didn't that we've seen didn't have a clue about how to have healthy relationships. So we decided, you know, we would teach that and we would model it. We had to learn it first, practice at home, right, honey? Praise God. We've done it. So that's what my heart is for this, is to help us have healthy relationships. So how many of you are with me on this? So this is a part two. And so number one principle about having healthy relationship is we each must admit our need for relationships. Yeah, keep that up there. Are you got number one up there? Okay. We've got to admit our need for relationships. Do you agree? So two are better than one. Yeah, we must admit our need for relationships. You need relationships. God told Adam it's not good for man to be alone, and yet he wasn't alone. He had God. But we still need relationships. He still needed a wife. Yes? God, and this understanding this will help you. Okay, God builds his kingdom through revelation and relationship. The way he builds his kingdom is through revelation and relationship. Remember in Matthew, Jesus said, you're blessed. Matthew 16, you're blessed, Simon Barjona, because the Father has revealed this to you. And so the kingdom is built on revelation, but it's also built through relationship, who God connects you with. And so it's important, guys, that we realize, and wasn't that a kind of an eye-opening revelation of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 had a door open to him from the Lord in Troas, and he didn't go through it. And because he didn't have his buddy with him. So then he goes to Macedonia and all hell's breaking loose, all kinds of problems, and he receives comfort because Titus is there. So this is a great Apostle Paul. He didn't do anything alone. Praise God. We need relationships. Say, I need relationships. So the second principle we need to know is relationships cannot be forced. They can't be forced. You can't pressure people, manipulate people. You've got to pray for favor and trust and follow the Holy Spirit. You know, you can offer a relationship. You can try to invite somebody out to lunch. Or, you know, if you want to connect with somebody, especially like a mentor relationship or fathering relationship, I mean, why don't you invite them out and buy the meal? You buy the meal, big boy. Yeah. And you know what? I've connected with several key people in my life when I invested in them like that. Could I just meet with you? And I'll leave them $100 or an offering or something. And they didn't ask me to do it, but I want to invest in that relationship. Yeah? But you can't force this. And if you try to, you know, if you feel led to invite a girl out and she doesn't reciprocate, I mean, you know, leave it there with God. Don't push. And so, you know, if you try to connect with somebody and it just doesn't seem to fit, it doesn't seem to work, then trust God with that. It doesn't mean give up on them, but don't force it. Don't push it. Don't be a Lucy leech. You know what I'm talking about? I love Lucy. If you watched her, there's a lot of Lucy leeches in the body of Christ. They're just leeching on people. Yeah. And they just suck all the life out of you. And any of you ever been around somebody like that? They're just a drain. Look, Janice and I pray every day, God, make us a blessing. Wherever we go, I want to be a blessing. I don't want to just go and what I can get out of a relationship, what I want to put into it. That's what there were years we were just recipients of our relationship with Pastor Bob and Joy. We were just recipients. I mean, we were just, and that we couldn't do anything to help them. It was just us. We were needy. But here was my prayer: God, let there come a day that I can be a blessing to Pastor Bob and Joy. And my greatest joy right now is that we're able to, in some small way, invest and reciprocate where people have laid their lives down for us. It's awesome, isn't it? So you know what? Wherever we've gone to church, it's in our lives. Lord, help us be a blessing. I want to leave people better off than when I found them. I don't want people to leave and say, "Man, I'm glad I got rid of them." I don't want to be a drain. I want to be a blessing. And sometimes people, they suck people dry and they just, take and use. Listen, stop that. Make a decision. I'm going to be a blessing. Amen. But then don't force it. You can't force these relationships. And then number three, there are different levels of relationship. Man, when I got this is such a powerful revelation. I tried to put everybody and squeeze everybody into the same box, and they're not all the same. You can't make all of them the same. There are outer relationships and there are inner relationships. Yes? Jesus had the multitudes, the 70, the 12, the 3, and the 1. There were different levels of relationship. And you can't squeeze everybody into the same box. So stop it. Stop trying to force outer relationships into... allow that. But you know what I do in relationships I give little bite-sized pieces of information, or I'll give them a test and see what they're willing to do. In leadership, if somebody comes and they always want to come to the leader and connect with the leader. What I'm going to do is I'm going to find out if they'll connect with and submit to some other leader in my ministry. And if they won't, then I don't let them go right to the top. And I don't go around with a fire hat on. We're putting out all your fires. No, I'm going to spend the bulk of my time with my leaders. I'm not going to let your crisis become my urgency. No, I'm not going to let your crisis become my own. Because you're walking around in crisis all the time anyway. No, I'm going to focus the bulk of my time on my leaders and pour into them. And I'm going to let them take care of those other folks who got fires all the time. Are you hearing me? So, look, here's something that helped me too. I didn't share it this morning, but some relationships are for a reason, like a project or, a ministry project or something that you're going to do together. They're for a reason. Some are for a season, and some are for a lifetime. Everybody say for some are for a reason, some for a season, and some for a lifetime. And you know what? That's heartbreaking sometimes, because I like all of them to last forever. But what I've discovered is that God sends some people sometimes to complete a project or start or birth a ministry, and then they're gone. They're, have gift, will travel, and they come in and they're for, and you love them and you pray for them, and I don't curse them when they go out. But then some relationships are just for a season. It could be that season could be a year or 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, I don't know. But then they're gone. And you'd love for it to be, like it was, but you can't force that. There's not that many that are for a lifetime. And not everybody is going to stick with you for life. Thank God I'm married to my first wife. Thank you, Jesus. And we're best friends. But not every relationship is a long for the long haul. And Thank God that's why we connected with Pastor Bob and Joy, because they've got a million-mile anointing. I'm staying with them, man. They're stuck with me. They're stuck because we love them and we're connected with them, and we wouldn't be where we are today without them. But then there's some people that, you know, they came into our lives for a season. And, you know, your heart hurts when they go, but you got to let them go. And then try to stay in touch with them where you can. But you know, when I got that in my mind, not every relationship is on the same level. Listen, I help me out, because I want to go to the next point. Okay, somebody needs to get this by letting someone go in their heart. You got to let some people go. Okay, release them. Okay? And it could have been, you know, sometimes when they leave, they don't leave right. But don't write them off. Let God heal your heart. Let them go. You can't move into the next season that God has for you without releasing the past. And you release them. You don't write them off. You understand? You release them. Everybody say, release them. Just watch Frozen. Let it go. Let it go. That song gets stuck in your head. Man, my grandchildren watching that, I can't get that song out of my head. Let it go, let it go. That's awesome. Okay. And then I also mentioned this. You know, we need mentor relationships. We need disciple relationships, peer relationships, and mentor relationships. Okay? You need to have all three if you're going to be healthy. If the only kind of relationships you have are discipleship relationships that you're pouring into, you're an unhealthy human being. You're unhealthy. Because you're just surrounding yourself with people that are needy, that need you. And if you're ministering out of a need to be needed, who is that about? Selah. If you're ministering out of a need to be needed, who is that about? It's about you. And that's where some people are. You need to have all three levels of relationship. Okay, number four. Is this helpful?
Yes.
Number four, no deposit, no return. No deposit, no return. No deposit, no return. You need to be feeding your relationships intentionally. Wives, would you agree with that? Where are you, wives? Would you agree with that? If we fail to make deposits in a relationship, we cannot expect to make any withdrawals. This is simple relationship accounting. You've not earned the right to correct or instruct someone without first investing time and encouragement into their lives. We make deposits into people by giving them encouragement, affirmation, thanking them, considering them, complimenting them, by placing trust in them, by giving them space sometimes, by giving them time sometimes, by giving them thoughtful gifts and even money. Yeah? There's a lot of ways to invest in relationships, but you know, many times we just give where people are needy. But what Pastor Bob Nichols has taught me is I want to give wherever I want to go. I want to sow where I want to go. Okay, and so I don't just sow where I do give to the poor. I give to the poor a lot, but you know, I don't just give to the poor. I sow where I want to go. So I sow into my pastor. He's my pastor. I'm sowing into his life. I sow into Andrew Womack Ministries. I sow into other ministries that are successful. If you're going to invest in the stock market, I mean, are you investing in a stock that's tanking and going, unless you're going to do a short thing on it? You know, no, you want to invest in something that's successful, right? Okay? And so some of our giving, we need to reserve for investing in people that have been blessing us and encouraging us and strengthening us. Is that true? You don't make any, look guys, you don't get deposits back. I mean, you don't get withdrawals back if you haven't made deposits. When Pastor Bob Nichols poured into our lives and basically saved our lives and our ministry in Decatur, when he came and helped us when the elders were about to run us out, and he came in and mediated in this meeting when Robbie was 11 or 12 and his last baseball game. He missed that baseball game to come help us. And so after that happened, and then he wrote a letter, I was able to read the letter to the congregation. Well, it saved our church. It saved our church. I mean, you know, do you think that, he was the only one who was able to do that. He saved our church. And so I just said, you know, Lord, I want to bless my pastor. I want to be able to give back into him. So I just told him, Pastor, anytime you need anything, you can call on me. And so there were times he called on me. One time he just looked at me and said, Greg, are you good for 1,000? I said, yeah, I didn't even know what it was for. I didn't even know what it was. Yes, sir, $1,000. Yeah, I guess so. Praise God. And since then, I mean, we helped our church invested like $10,000 into the Uganda television station. Other times, I mean, we've just, you know, God, I'm going to bless the man of God who helped me. Yeah. And Proverbs 18:16, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Specifically, this refers to a financial gift, though there are spiritual gifts that you could connect this with, it's specifically talking about a financial gift. A man's gift will make room for him. You know, when Nabal reviled and rejected David's men, Abigail's abundant gift of food and supplies for David, it saved the day and gave her a prophetic word about David's future kingdom. And it turned David's anger around and gave her favor with him in 1 Samuel chapter 25. Then she eventually became his wife. Man, it's awesome. I mean, Nabal was, spoke evil about David, and David and his men were going to go and wipe those guys out, and then she came and gave gifts to David's men, and then David responded. In fact, let me just look over there in 1 Samuel 25. Let's see what verse I want to look at. 1 Samuel 20, is that it? 1 Samuel 25. And let's see. Then, 32. Then David said to Abigail, blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me, and blessed is your advice. And blessed are you because you kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who's kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left to Nabal. So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, go in peace to your house. See, I've heeded your voice and respected your person. And, you know, later after Nabal died, she became David's wife. And that happened through a gift. All right, I've got to stop right here because there's someone here, the Holy Spirit's quickening me to tell you that someone like Pastor Bob has invested abundantly in your life, and the Lord's bringing them to remembrance right now. You need to think and consider about sowing into their lives. You need to think and consider, and I don't do it just because I'm saying it. But there's somebody that it's been a while ago that someone really just came to your rescue, and they need a reciprocal response right now. They need someone to help them in their time of need. And you reach out to them and you watch, and whatever it's going to, you want to do some tangible thing, but also something with appreciation, with your words about how that person what that person means to you. Listen, guys, we cannot. If you're going to have healthy relationships, you've got to invest in relationships, and you invest in a lot of different ways. I just mentioned a few earlier. You invest in a lot of different ways, but some of it's financial. Jacob's gift of 220 goats and 220 sheep and 80 head of cattle and 20 donkeys and 10 horses gave him favor with his brother Esau, who he deceived several years ago in Genesis 32. Praise God. I mean, it saved his life. Then the queen of Sheba brought 120 talents of gold, spices, and precious stones in abundance as a gift to King Solomon, though he didn't need any of it, and it brought her into favor with him in 2 Chronicles 9. And it says, verse 12, she went back with more than she brought to the king with great wealth of wisdom as well. She went back with more than she brought. So you need to sow into relationship, sow into vision, sow into success, not just need. You know, it's great to give to the poor. I'm not telling you don't give to the poor. I'm not saying that at all. It's wonderful what we do here at Calvary Cathedral International. We sow into the poor. We give to the poor. We need to do it more. But some of our giving needs to go where we need to sow where we want to go. You know, a lot of times people won't give to people who are wealthy just because they're wealthy. But I don't care about the issue of not to me whether they're wealthy. The issue is, what is God telling me to do? I want to sow into the success that's in their life. I want to sow into them and tell them thank you for making a difference in my life. Praise God. We've sowed a lot into Kenneth Copeland Ministries over the years. I mean, my son Michael is alive today because of the revelation we got about healing through his ministry. And so, man, I mean, you know, and he may be a millionaire. I don't know. But the issue is, you know, I don't get upset about, you know, and you shouldn't get upset about somebody's harvest until you've seen the seed they sow. And I'm not going to judge. I mean, look, I wouldn't buy the kind of airplanes that he buys or that Jesse Duplantis buys, because I don't fly. I mean, but you know, if God told me to, I would. So I'm not judging them, and we don't need to judge them. What we need to do is sow where God leads us to sow. And no deposit, no return, guys. We need to stop judging one another and sow where God tells us to. I remember one time God told Janice and I to sow into this ministry, and they were a little bit, kind of a little goofy in the way they did things. I mean, the wife, she was into feathers and had feathers on, and they were just a little, you know, kind of outwardly different than we were. What, honey? Flamboyant. Yeah, flamboyant. That's, you know, but the Holy Ghost told us, and they were, but they were good people, okay? But the ministry, the way they did things was just a little, would weird you out a little bit, especially his wife. And anyway, so I was in a consulting business at the time, and the Lord said, now this check, this commission check, goes to this ministry. That's where it goes. And I hadn't received it yet, so it's like, no problem. Praise God, okay. And so when the commission check came, it was like $5,000, wasn't it? $5,000. And we needed it. But the Lord said, this belongs to Brother and Sister Smith over here. And so praise God. So I just, man, I signed it back of it as quick as I could. So put it in the mail, sent it to him. Man, he calls me. He's just hooping and hollering and praising God. And man, God told them that they were supposed to go to Korea to see Dr. Cho and all this. And they didn't have the money. And in fact, they had booked the tickets and didn't have the money to pay for it. And we've sent the $5,000 and they were able to go. And well, you know what? That relationship connected with us, and we had Brother Ron Smith at our church as a prophet to our house every year for 24 years. And he was just right on, man. I mean, it was like, man, this was awesome. Well, you know, the thing is, guys, you know, that gift connected us. Well, I didn't do it for that. You understand? But listen, some of us need to step out and we need to give. You need to carry cash around to give to people and bless them. Yeah? And sure, be ready to give to the poor. I'm not telling you don't give to the poor, but we also need to give into relationships, sow into vision, sow into success, not just need. And like I said, we sow monthly into Pastor Bob, and just into his ministry, as well as Calvary. Number five, is this okay? Yeah. Number five, your relationships will be tested. They will be tested. I said they will be tested. John 6:66, you know, all of Jesus' disciples left him. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. All of his disciples left him except for the 12. And then he turned to them and said, you guys are going to go too. And later at his crucifixion, each of the 12 ran away in fear for their own lives. Look, if Jesus suffered, what does that mean? If Jesus suffered betrayal, so will you. And as I mentioned this morning, guys, this is, you know, love is a risky business. It really is. It's a risky business. And relationships, having a relationship, it's a risky business because when you love somebody and you give to somebody and you connect, when you connect with them, okay, you're empowering them to wound you, hurt you, betray you. All kinds of things. But I cannot live cynical. I can't do it. I refuse to do it. I know when we went through that involuntary church plant, otherwise known as a church split, that Pastor Bob helped us through. You know, I mean I'd forgiven those people, I'd let them go, you know, but something on my heart was just, I was dying on the inside. Any of you ever been betrayed and somebody put a knife in your back? I was dying. It was like, God, what's wrong? I can't live like this. And he said, son, yeah, you've forgiven them, but you've got to submit your heart to me because I'm the healer of the brokenhearted. You've been wounded in the house of your friends. And I remember one morning when Tom Autry was playing in early morning prayer. And then Dale Gentry gets up and he said, and I was driving from, you know, one of those ungodly mornings, ungodly hours at 5:42, driving from Decatur to Calvary at 5:42 in the morning. Or so we had to get up at 4 to get here. And the Lord's dealing with me. I said, God, I can't go on like this. I'm bleeding. I'm dying. And he said, you've got to trust me to heal your heart. And I get here and Tom's off in the spirit playing something heavenly. And Dale Gentry said, there's a call going out. There's a call going out for some to go. And I'm saying, praise God, I want to get out of here, you know. And he said, but then I've called some to stay. And then the Lord asked me, will you stay? And if you'll stay, I'll bless you and heal you. And And so I'm receiving that, and then a word goes out, and that someone here, and then the Holy Spirit said, and in fact, Dale Gentry called this guy out, and he said, and then the Holy Spirit said, this is for you too. And he said, you've been wounded in the house of your friends, and the Lord's coming to heal your heart. And I said, that was me, Lord. I need my heart healed. I need my heart healed. I need my heart healed so I can trust again and love again, not try to self-protect. Yeah? I've got to, you know, and what happens is we go through offenses and we go through, you know, people wound us and betray us and talk about us and, you know, or disappoint us. And I can't live a cynical life. I'm just not going to do it. Because if I do, then I'm going to spew that out. Yeah? And if you become offended because of people's rejection of you or betrayal of you or mistreatment of you or whatever, then what happens, you become offended. Then, as I said this morning in Matthew 24, you enroll in the school of false prophets. Yeah, look at it. Then many will be offended. They'll betray one another, hate one another. Go to the next verse. And no, not that one. Go to the, well, that's okay. She put it on a slide. But the next verse says, many false prophets will rise, will deceive many. Then lawlessness will abound, and there'll be cold love. I'm not so concerned about global warming as I am about global chilling. And guys, it happens, doesn't it, Tom? In ministry, you know, you get disappointed. You get, you know, things don't go the way. I mean, try traveling sometime. And you go, and sometimes people just bless the socks off of you. Other times, you know, and you look into that, you get, this is the offering. Really? This didn't cover my meals. Really? And then, you know, so you just have to be thankful. Look, how many of you would like to walk free from offense? You really would? Okay. You want to know how to do it? Okay, here's how you do it. When it comes to men, expect nothing and be thankful for everything. Expect nothing. Be thankful for everything. If I'm not expecting anything, I can't be offended by you. So I'm not expecting from you. I'm not expecting, if I come and serve, I'm not expecting an offering. I'm looking to God. I might expect from God, but not from you. And then if you don't give me one, I'm not disappointed. And I'm not offended. And then I'm not enrolling in the school of false prophets. Because you become offended, you have just unconsciously, unintentionally, but in reality nonetheless, you've just enrolled in the school of false prophets. Because becoming offended when offenses come, becoming offended is the way that people enroll. And that's where false prophets rise from. The place is a place of being offended. And so I'm not going to, I've just chosen, you know what? Okay, I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. I'm not saying, Charles, it doesn't hurt. I'm not saying that felt good when that person said that about me or didn't do that for me or whatever. But you know what? I'm not expecting anything from you, so I can't get offended by you. And I'll pray for you then. Right? And so I walk free as a bird, guys, really. Can I tell you how freeing that is? And look, I could compare my war wounds with you, and I would beat 90% of you. I promise you. Okay? I can tell you some stories. But the bottom line is I don't have the smell of smoke on me. Because I'm walking free from offense. I'm not, you know, you're gonna have tests in your relationship, and not everybody's gonna do it perfectly like me or Pastor Bob. No, I mean, you're going to go through betrayal. Jesus went through betrayal, so you're going to go through betrayal, and you just got to decide, you know, I'm not going to let I'm not going to let what people do get me into offense. I'm not going to do it. I'm staying out of that. Yes? And besides that, no relationship can take the place of God in our lives. Now, this is a powerful verse. She put it up there a while ago, Hebrews 12:27. And when we were going through that church split, this was the thing that saved my bacon. I mean, it's really, God gave me this revelation. Yet, once more, Hebrews 12:27 indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things which are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. And this is what the Lord showed me. He said, son, you got to let those go that are being shaken. Otherwise, if you try to hold on to them, those that can't be shaken will leave. But if you let those things that can be shaken, those unshakable things will remain. That's powerful. Now, that includes relationships. That includes relationships. I said that includes relationships. That's powerful. 1 Corinthians 11:19, there must also be factions among you, divisions in relationship, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. So, you know, there's going to come divisions, there's going to come betrayal, there's going to come problems, but many times those things come so you can recognize those who are the ones that God's connected you with. And it was amazing during that church split. See, if now God didn't send it, but if that hadn't have happened, I wouldn't have connected at the level that we are with Pastor Bob and Calvary. Really, I mean, it was like, God, if you'll allow what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it around for good. If you'll allow God to do that, instead of getting focused on what you lost, you know, what's, you know, playing the blame game, you know, singing somebody done me wrong song. Yes? Look, I'm sorry what you lost, but remember what I said this morning. The reason why we have a problem in these areas is because we're valuing our pain and loss greater than the cross. Amen? Now, you're going to go through a lot of different tests. You're going to go through the rejection test, the offense test. You're going to go through the money test where people choose money over relationships. You know, the character test where people, you know, don't walk in integrity and they walk in the fear of man rather than the fear of the Lord. And then, you know, you're going to have separation tests in relationship. And I remember when we were going through that time, there was a real couple that was real close to us. And they were going through struggles in their relationship. A lot of it had to do with, you know, what was going on. And I just told the Lord, I said, Father, if it's best for their marriage, as much as painful as it is for Janice and I, we release them to you. I care more about their marriage than I do about what they can do for us here in the church. And so we had to let there be separation for a little while. And so but God brought them back. Then there's the adversity test. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You know, true friends are revealed in times of adversity, not in times of prosperity. You know how I pick my leaders? I watch and see how people go through tough times. And I see how they respond in challenging times. Not when everything's going well. That's how you pick your leaders. And it was amazing to me, the people that stayed, I wouldn't have thought those are the ones that would have stayed. And those that left, I wouldn't have thought those would be the ones that left. But you can't judge somebody's heart until you go through a little trouble. And then you find out who's really with you. Amen? The good we can take from adversity the enemy throws our way is it will actually reveal our true friends. Yeah? Now I've got the airport in sight. We're just about to land. Point number 6. Relationships are worth the risk. They're worth the risk. Everybody say they're worth the risk. Luke 6:12-14. Jesus spent all night in prayer seeking the Father, Now it came to pass in those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, continued all night in prayer to God, verse 13. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. So he spent all night in prayer, seeking the Father about the 12 men he would pour himself into that would carry out his mission. He chose 12, and one of those was Judas. Gives me hope. I said, gives me hope. Do you think Jesus missed it? I don't think he missed it, do you? He prayed all night, David. He prayed all night. He sought the Lord. And out of all the people that were following him, he chose 12. Okay? And one of those was Judas. What does that tell us? That tells us that God is willing. And because I asked the Lord one time, God, I prayed and I sought you and I chose this guy. And he said, yeah, I did too. So what does that mean? Not all the relationships are going to work out perfectly, even when you pray. It didn't for Jesus. And he didn't miss God. He prayed. He sought the Lord. He chose them. One of those was still Judas. What does that mean? He's willing to lay his life down to give people opportunities to change, even if they don't. And you know what? If we're going to have ministry like him, we've got to do the same. We've got to be willing, you know, and yeah, it's painful. Yeah, it's hurt. It hurts. Yeah, you know, you go through things, but what do you think Jesus went through? And that's going to happen in relationship, guys. Your relationships are going to get tested, but it's worth it. You know, there are disappointments, but guys, you know, I mean, look, even his closest three couldn't stay awake when he was praying. In his most desperate hour. But praise God, they turned around. 11 of the 12 turned out good. And each of us are going to face disappointment, unfulfilled expectation, but it's worth the risk. Satan uses people, but so does God. Who has God knitted your heart with? Who has He connected you with? Who have you prayed about and God and you know you've there's a God connection there. He's trying to connect you in covenant relationship for the purpose of receiving and imparting kingdom benefits. Yes? Look at 1 Samuel and I'm just about done, but I want to read these verses. 1 Samuel 18. Let's look at verse 1. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Verse 2. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go to his father's house anymore. Verse 3. Then Jonathan made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And in verse 4, and Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. Now let's look at chapter 19 and verse 1 through 3. Now Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted greatly in David. So Jonathan told David, saying, my father Saul seeks to kill you, therefore please be on your guard until morning and stay in the secret place and hide. And I'll go out and stand beside my father in the field and where you are, and I'll speak with my father about you. And whatever I observe, I will tell you. Now look at chapter 20. And then Saul's anger was aroused against Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you've chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame, the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, you shall not be established, nor your kingdom. Now therefore send and bring him to me, for surely he shall die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said to him, why should he be killed? What has he done? And Saul cast a spear at him to kill him, by which Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to kill David. So Jonathan rose from the table in fierce anger, ate no food the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had treated him shamefully. And so it was in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad was with him. And he said to the lad, "Now run and find the arrows which I shoot." As the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad had come to the place where the arrow was, which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, Is not the arrow beyond you? And Jonathan cried out after the lad, "Make haste, hurry, do not delay." So Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows, came back to his master, but the lad did not know anything. Only Jonathan and David knew of the matter. And Jonathan gave his weapons to the lad, told him, "Carry him into the city." And as soon as the lad had gone, David rose from the place toward the south, fell on his face toward the ground, bowed down three times, and they kissed one another. They wept together, but David more so. And then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, since we both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, 'May the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" So he rose and departed, and Jonathan went into that city. Now let me stop. What happened there? God brought Jonathan and David into covenant relationship together at great expense on Jonathan's part, because he knew David was destined for the throne, which he was in line. At great cost for David, of self-preservation, because Jonathan could have betrayed him, and he would have been killed. But there was trust, and there was love, and there was commitment, you know. And that's what I've decided in my covenant relationships that God connects me with. You know what? I'm going to be a blessing, and I'm going to have my pastor's back. I'm going to have my covenant relationships back. I'm not going to throw them under the bus. And then you know what? When I sow loyalty, I reap it. Now watch this. After 2 Samuel 9, verse 1, after Jonathan died, now David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" The story of Mephibosheth. Their covenant relationship saved David's life. It also preserved and provided for Jonathan's seed. Guys, there is a measure of protection, provision, promotion, and posterity that God's reserved for you and I that can only be received through covenant relationship. Ephesians, now we're moving up to the terminal here now, okay? This is my last verse. "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." There are things that God has supplied for you and me through covenant relationship, and that I can only receive through covenant relationship, and I can't receive on my own. And some of us have gone through divorce, some of us have gone through death, some of us have gone through some kind of separation, betrayal, things like that. And look, my heart breaks and hurts where you've gone through that. But guys, we've got to commit those things to God. And we've got to recognize we need relationships still. And that's where I decided, that's where I was. I said, you know, God, all these people, I mean, I had a third of my congregation left. They're writing letters about us that were lies. And it was like, Jesus, what do you do? I can't defend myself. What do you do? And, you know, we had to, it pained us, because you'd see them in Walmart, they turn. So I don't go to Walmart. Didn't go to Walmart for a while. They turn and just turn their back on you and walk off. But look, I get it. I understand it hurts. But Jesus is the healer of the brokenhearted. And you've got to expose your wounded heart to the Lord and let Him come and heal you, because there is a measure of His grace that He cannot get to you until you let Him heal your heart and trust again and love again and connect again in relationship. And God will make it better. I said He'll heal your heart. You can't live in that place of isolation and hurt and offense. Amen? And some of it's not offense. Some of it's just, yeah, if you guys could come. Some of it's just the pain of, you know, you've lost somebody that's close to you. And they were, you know, you had sweet fellowship together. And again, it could be through divorce, it could have been through death, it could have been just through betrayal or that person, you know, or maybe it was you're part members of the church, and then they just left one day unannounced and you were close to them. And I understand that hurts, doesn't it? But we've got to submit, guys, our wounded hearts to the Lord and let Him heal. And in what, you know what He's going to do? He's going to restore. He's going to give you new relationships. That's what He's done for Janice and I. That's exactly what He'll do for you. He'll bring you new relationships. We need relationships, don't we? But will you let Him heal your heart? Will you trust again? Will you love again? Will you live again? Dry bones, come alive. Dry bones, live. You can't live disconnected. You can't live singing with Barbara Streisand the way we were. I wish it was the way we were. Or singing with the Beatles yesterday. All my troubles are so far away. You know, no, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. But will we let Him heal us? You pray for those that are gone. You pray for those and bless them. But guys, it's a new day. It's a new season. It's a season of life. It's a season of love. It's a season of revival. It's a season of healing. Amen? Praise God. How many of you am I speaking to, and you're there, you've been there, and you want to let the Lord heal your heart? If that's you, just lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Praise God. Amen. I want you to stand up. Let me pray for you. Just put your hand on your heart. Say, Jesus, You're the healer of my broken heart. And I allow You to come into the deepest recesses of my soul. Heal every hurt, every loss of relationship, every broken relationship, every betrayal, every disappointment. Heal it, Lord. Heal my heart. Father, give me hope again. Give me trust again. Let me love again. Let me live again. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I just release the healing power of Jesus to do what You said You would do. You're the healer of the brokenhearted. Lord, heal these hearts. Heal these hurts. Remove the pain. Remove the loss. The memory will never go away, but the loss, the pain, Father, is being restored right now. You're healing them with that pain, that hurt. Just like You did for Janice and me. Father, You took out that hurt. You helped the bleeding, internal bleeding, stop. And You gave me hope again, joy again. You helped me live again. Father, breathe again. In Jesus' name. The enemy's taking the breath out of us. Lord, in Jesus' name, I release life. Breathe into them again, Father. Let the bones come together and live. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Let's all stand together.